This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It is 7:22, Total Information AM Sunday for this May 11th. Good morning. I'm Scott Jagow. Happy Mother's Day. Right now, we're joined by Hancock and Kelly, as always at this time of the week. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with the first American-born pope to lead the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, that's a significant development this week. And today, he gave his first noon blessing and called for the end of fighting in Ukraine and Gaza, and said that right now we're experiencing kind of World War III in pieces. But overall, what was your reaction to him being chosen as Pope and what you think is going to happen from here on out? Let's start with you, John.
Well, I was obviously surprised that an American-born man became the Pope. And, you know, it kind of, I think for Americans, it kind of makes the Pope more real. You know, he's the guy that goes to ball games and grew up in Chicago, spent a year of his life in St. Louis, and it remains to be seen what direction he's going to lead that massive church, 1.4 billion people in the Catholic Church. But I think that, you know, he's been elevated to a very significant position in among world leaders, and you know, I'm rooting for him.
Michael, you've talked about your own Catholicism. What was your reaction?
Well, I was shocked in the sense that an American would be Pope. It was conventional wisdom. We were taught our whole lives that that would never happen. The superpower wouldn't also have the Pope. And on Wednesday, when they pulled back the curtain and said that it was the first American Pope, I was shocked. But I was also encouraged. What we learned about him quickly, it seems to be as though he kind of follows the pathway of Pope Francis. He's young. He's an American. He has a unique opportunity to really play an interesting role in history, should he choose to do it. And I guess the one word that comes out of my mouth, Scott, is hopeful. And watching on Wednesday made me hopeful. And in a time when I'm really questioning a lot of the people who are running our world, I was hopeful that this Pope may help make a difference.
And I'm grateful that somebody that's 69 years old is considered young.
Good one. Let's switch to local politics or state politics. Friday, the Senate was shocked, frankly, by what the House did, which was not vote on a $500 million construction bill. Didn't tell them about it, didn't tell them that they weren't going to vote on it. So now there's 1 week left in the legislative session, and there's a lot of acrimony between the House and Senate. What does that end up with?
Well, you see this is very typical Jefferson City. It's as ancient as the state is old. And I think they will get it worked out. And sometimes I think these guys create drama for the sake of drama. And I think that's what we're witnessing here. But I do think it's going to get worked out, Scott.
Mike, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know on a ruin good radio here, but boy, John hit it spot on. These folks don't seem to do anything till the last 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah.
The House being the stepbrother, of the legislature, they like to assert themselves, particularly when there's a time deadline. And I think that's what we're seeing happen. All in all, though, I have to tell you, it wasn't a bad session to this point. Obviously, they don't pass too many of the things until the last week. So we'll wait to see what they pass. But to have a Republican Party that's actually working together, I think, has been beneficial to the state, even if I'm not supportive of all their policy.
Well, every few months, I like to ask you guys, put you on the spot to name a topic that you're thinking about right now, something that's on your mind or working on. If you don't mind, I'd like to do that right now. John, is there anything in particular that caught your eye right now?
Well, I continue to be very concerned about the tariff policy coming out of the administration. I can only see negative economic results from it. I had hoped initially that it was going to be some kind of a negotiating tactic floated as a threat. Now I'm afraid that we're committed to this policy, and I'm certain that the economic effects of it are going to be negative because it's economics 101. So that's the thing that's got me most of my political attention these days.
And is there? Go ahead, Michael.
No, I was going to state mine. Please follow up.
No, please go ahead.
Well, I think, look, we're on a bit of a sugar high here in St. Louis with the election of a new mayor. Again, I think that word hope comes in. People are hopeful that we're going to be able to get the government to work and actually provide basic government services. But what concerns me the most, Scott, is that, unfortunately, St. Louis is a region that's in decline. And it's no longer just the epicenter of the region that needs to be attended to. And I look at a lot of the regional elections that are about to come, whether it be for county executives in St. Louis and St. Charles County. I think a lot of that's going to play a big role in the direction St. Louis goes. Too often we put all the impetus and the focus on the city of St. Louis, and the reality is there's only 200,000 people live there. And so I continue to be focused on what can happen regionally to hopefully make this region grow in my lifetime to restore St. Louis to the where it ought to be, which is one of the great cities of our country.
Michael Kelly, John Hancock, thanks, guys, as always.
You betcha.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.